Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I've been thinking on this scripture this week and the book of Ecclesiastes. Well, what a mighty book. If you haven't read the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, well, you've missed out. A lot of good stuff in here from this old preacher. Amen. I believe it was one time when he got up in the years and he had been there and done a lot of things. And he looked back over his life and he said, you know what? He said, looking back on it, he said, ain't a whole lot to it. Amen. And ain't a whole lot to my life, what I've done. But he said, boy, there's a great big God that's done a lot. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the Bible said, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profiteth hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he rose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all this vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart, and I had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. The Bible hears the old preachers are speaking. He doesn't leave any room for doubt. He said that we know that it's King Solomon because he said he's the son of David, king of Jerusalem. He was the one that was king. There was a lot of other kings, but he was the one that was king of Jerusalem. And he's speaking here from his heart. I believe this old preacher's speaking to me and you straight from his heart. And he says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He said, all this stuff that I've had, all the things I've done, all the things I've seen, he said, it's just vanity. He said, everything that I've tried to accomplish within myself, he said, it's just meaningless. It don't amount to nothing. Amen? He said, everything I've tried, he says, it hasn't amounted to a thing. He says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? He said, what does it do? What profit is it for everything that you do? He said, you can ask a man. You can go find a man on the street and you can say, let me ask you a question. Why do you work? He said, well, I go to work so that I can eat, so I can have food on my table. He said, why do you have food? Need food on your table? He said, so that I can gain strength. He said, why do you need to gain strength? He said, so that I can work. Amen. He said, do you see what I'm talking about? He said, it's just a circle. He said, man is just like on a treadmill. He's just on an endless thing trying to find a peace and joy and happiness, praise God, on an endless treadmill, praise God, and he'll never find it. Amen. Never find peace and happiness and hope. It's just an endless cycle that we go on. And he gives us some examples here in verses 4 through 7. He said, a generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. He said, one generation comes, they go, and another generation comes. We've even seen it here in the church since I've been here. Amen. One generation's a fading out, another generation's coming on, having these little babies born into the church, born into our family. That's another generation that's coming along. Amen. It's a continuing process. He said, the sun also rises. And now, I want to say, in his wisdom, Solomon knew, praise God, that the sun didn't really rise and set. He was just going on man's experience, what we can see. Amen. You know the sun doesn't really rise and set. I mean, you do know that, right? The sun is in heaven. It's in the heavens. And it's stationary. And the earth circulates around. And the earth circulates around the sun. Amen. The sun really never goes nowhere. The sun is stationary in heaven. God put it there. Several thousand years ago when He created, praise God, and He put the sun there to give light and to give heat. Do you know the sun, the amazing thing about the sun, the scientists say, is burning at 9,998 degrees constantly, except for occasional flares when it flares up and gets a little bit hotter. And it's been doing that for thousands of years. It's like that burning bush, Brother Andrew. Praise God. God put it out there. He spoke existence. He put it there. Praise God. And it's there and it's burning. It's a giving light and it's a giving help and it's giving the things we need to grow. You know, if the sun was just a little bit further away, we'd be froze up in an ice ball. And if the sun was a little bit closer, we'd be cooked to a crispy crunch. Amen. Do you know that? Amen. But God hung it out there, praise God. Solomon knew that in his wisdom. But he was just going with the times. He was just telling what people believe. They see it rising up over here in this side of the earth and going down, rising in the east and setting in the west. And he said, hey, praise God, every morning you get up and there's the sun. He said, every evening, praise God, you see it go down and you pillow your head. He said, that thing just keeps going, praise God, and keeps going, kind of like the energized boy, keeps going and going and going and going. Amen. He said, the wind goeth towards the south and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. Amen. He said, that wind just keeps a blowing. Amen. Where it will. He said, at certain times of year it comes up from the south. Certain times of year it comes down from the north. And he says, praise God, every time, hey, it just keeps going through those cycles. Amen. Just keeps going to those cycles. He said, it doesn't stop. He said, all the rivers run into the sea. Now, do you see the life cycle that we're seeing here? This life cycle that just keeps going on and keeps going on. He said, the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea's not full. Amen. It keeps running in all the rivers. You talk about the mighty French Broad. And it's running into the sea. All these other rivers run into the sea, but the sea never gets full. You know why? Because one day, praise God, God put His hand right here and He said, see, this is as far as you go. Amen. He said, hey, praise God, He set the boundaries of the seashore, praise God. He said, this is as far as you go. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's God Almighty. But He said, but unto the places from which the rivers come, thither they return again. So you see the reputation, or you see the cycle of life that just keeps happening and happening day in and day out, year after year, century after century, amen, decade after that. We just keep seeing it happening. Amen. The old preacher said, hey, I keep seeing life. It's in a cycle. Amen. And he says, if we ain't careful, we get caught up in this thing and we become bored. See, he says, the reason this thing's working the way it is because the curse that man's got caught up in. See, used to we was in the garden and everything was perfect. We had perfect bodies. They were sinless. They were spotless. They were without any kind of contamination. Amen? And we were put in that garden, created of God, breathed life into, put us in the garden to keep the garden, to dress the garden. Amen? Praise the Lord. We just had to go along and tuned up and just keep it tuned up just right. Amen. And while we done it, we would stand in tune with God. I believe what it was. I believe there's such joy at God put in man's heart.
in the garden, praise the Lord, that because of we were tuned up with Him, praise God, we were tuned up with everything around us. What are you saying? I'm saying there was nothing out of order. Amen. But I want to say today we're living in a world that's out of order. Amen. We're living in a world of mass confusion everywhere. Amen. It was because of that curse that fell on mankind. Paul tells it best over in Romans chapter 8 in verse 18. Amen. Romans 8 and 18, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Amen. He said, we're suffering for a little while, but he said, just hang on. He said, this too will pass. Amen. He said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. You see that? He was made subject to vanity. That just meaningless living where we just go day by day doing the same thing over and over. That monotonous life that we have. Amen. That boring life that we go through. You know, a preacher, I wouldn't say that. God did. Amen. He said, because the creature itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits, amen, we've been born again, praise God, of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. So he says, because of the curse, he said, we're caught up in this ritual, we're caught up in this routine that we call life. Amen. Up in a routine called life. Praise the Lord. It begins to be monotonous, it begins to be boring. Amen. And he says in verse 8, he said, all things are full of labor. Have you noticed that? It blows my mind. But when I was a kid, Brother X, my grandmother and my grandfather, they cooked their food on a wood stove. They had to run outside to the bathroom to a little house on the side of the hill. Amen. My grandmother, she scrubbed her clothes on an old washboard down by the pump house. Now, I'm not that old, but I can remember this. Amen. But we live in a day and a time, says God, that we labor, and it seems like it's more intensive than what they had back then. I wonder if we're creating work for ourselves. We've got modern conveniences. We've got super nukers. We can throw a box of something in there and hit a button, and boom, in just a second, we've got supper. Amen. Wife will throw it on the table, peel that top off of it, and say, there she is. Amen. And you get a spoon and you look at it and you try to figure out what it is and you dive in. And my mama said, don't you ask. I said, that's the way. She puts it before you, you got to eat it. I said, amen. Praise the Lord. I told you the story. First time I ever come in from work, me and my wife hadn't been married but a few weeks, and I come in there and she said, supper's ready. I went in there, sat down at the table, and she put something that I'd never seen before. It was a big old tater, but she had done ruined it. She had took and put all kind of white stuff on it and cheese and this green stuff. And I said, what's this? She said, supper. And it's just like a bell went off my head. Mama said, whatever she put, you got to eat it. I said, okay. I got up my fork and I dove in that baked potato with broccoli and cheese and sour cream. Never had nothing like that in my life. I'm a beans and taters man. Amen. But I dove in that thing. Guess what? I liked it. Amen. Probably one of my favorites now. Praise the Lord. Why? Because of the things that we do, because of the labors we have to go through now. See, nowadays we take our clothes and we throw them in a washer. We throw in a little soap and we hit a button and then we just wait till the alarm goes off. Amen. And then we go grab them out of there when the alarm goes off and we throw them in the dryer. We hit another button and we wait till that alarm goes off. Amen. We don't even have to sit and watch. Hey, used to, I remember when we was kids, Mama used to, when the winter time was bad and she couldn't wash on the front porch, we'd have to take them down to the laundromat and sit and wait on them. You sit there and watch them things. Make you crazy. Now you know what's wrong with me.
Amen?
Sit there and watch that stuff. Why? Because it's labor. Labor intensive. But we're living in a world, praise God, we don't have all, we got conveniences that takes care of all that for us. We don't have to walk both ways uphill to school no more, like most of us did. Don't have to drudge both ways in the snow to school. Amen, because we got modern convenience. Bus comes right up to the house and picks us up. Carries us to the house. Most of us don't even have to ride the bus no more. Most of them, mom and daddy towed us to school. You carry us over to the schoolhouse, drop us out right at the door. Amen. Amen. I remember I used to have to walk from my mama take me over to Papa's to catch a bus. I'd stay over there until bus time because she'd go on to work. And I had to walk that quarter of a mile over the road to catch a bus. Rain, snow, sleet, or shine, praise God. She expected you to be on that bus. Amen. Take you an umbrella, she'd say. Put you a bread bag over your shoes, them tennis shoes. Keep your feet dry. Amen. You remember that? All I had was some of them old red kid tennis shoes. Amen. And mama would say, here's some bread bags, put them in there, and said, if it's raining, put them over your shoes. Amen. Some of you maybe not did that, but I did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because it's labor intensive. It's world that we're living in. Amen. And even though we have these modern conveniences, it's still labor. We still labor. We still continue this cycle of life in which we live. Amen. Nothing changes. You say, well, preacher, people's a whole lot smarter. And I know we're just seeking more. Always learning, can never come into the knowledge of the truth. Amen. He said, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. You know, have you noticed what's taking place in the world that we live? We're living in a time and a place it's peculiar to any time there's ever been. We've got so much technology at our fingertips. I mean, it's right there. There's no wanting for knowledge. There's no wanting for communication. Amen. If we want to talk to somebody, if we want to say something to someone, boom, just a few clicks, and boom, it's done. Amen. We've got notebooks and Facebook and all kinds of different things. Praise God, people's using to get in touch with people. Right now. Why? Because they're looking and desiring to see. Amen. We're no different from the old preacher. He was looking, desiring to see what he could see, what this world had to offer. Amen. We're still in the same cycle. Praise the Lord. Amen. He goes on here. He says, and the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. He said, they're continuing this cycle. It just keeps playing out. And he said, in order to find out what you got, hey, you know what you got to do? You got to look beyond the sun. Amen. You get to looking beyond. Let me show you something. Look over in Psalms, chapter 107th Psalm. 107th Psalm, verse 9. Let's start verse 9. He says, for he satisfies the longing soul. Who's that? God. Amen. 107 and 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death are bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. In other words, they despised counsel. They didn't want to hear what God said was right. He said, then they cried. He said, therefore he brought them down to their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. You know what happened? They finally got under that burden, got so heavy that they couldn't carry it no more. And when you get down so low, all you can do is look up. Have you noticed what God's starting to do around here in our homes, our lives, and our families? Praise God. He's getting them down so low, praise God, in these last days that we live, that they're having to look up. Amen. Thank God, glory to God, that He gets us down to a place that we got to look up. Because when you start looking up, you can find help, praise the Lord. When you start looking up, things is looking up. Amen. God begins to do things for you and in you that you never thought could happen. Start seeing the salvation of the Lord. Praise God. I'm not talking about some little old profession, some little old, Lord, it's me, but praise God. Somebody with a broken heart and a contrite spirit falling before God and said, oh God, forgive me a sinner. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, then they cried, verse 13, unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Listen to what he says, Brother X. He said, verse 14, he said, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Amen. When you get to the light, praise God. Praise to the sun, glory to God. You get the bands broke asunder. Praise the Lord. We're seeing some folks, amen, getting their bands broke asunder. Bless His holy name. Praise the Lord. Amen. We come to a place and we say, you know, this thing is so out of proportion. This thing is so out of track that we just can't get a hold of it. We get caught up in the monotony of it and the boredom of this world that we live in. That's what causes us to start seeking after all these things. I've never seen a time in my life. I'm 50, going on 52 years old. I've never seen a time in my life that people are seeking after something like they are now. Amen. They're looking everywhere they can think of for something, trying to find something. And it's right here, the precious Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty is right here the whole time. Amen. Right here is what they need to find. Amen. Well, let's go on. Verse 10, he says, is there anything whereof it might be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. He said, is there anything new under the sun? Is there anything new that's transpired in our life, praise God, that hadn't already been? You know, I got to think about it. I thought, yeah, something I can remember, praise God. Hey, right before I was born, they was flying. Man, down there at Kitty Hawk, praise God, they built this thing with wings, and they took it down there and got some speed up and sent that thing out over the beach, and praise God, it was a plane, and it flew. Amen. Something new. They didn't design that. God did. Amen. Some man looked up one day and he seen a bird, Brother Kevin, flying over and he said, I'd like to do that. Amen. And he took that knowledge that God gave him, praise God, and he put it on a piece of paper, drew it out, went, sat down and made it with some canvas and some pieces of wood, praise God, and flew like a bird. Amen. He said, well, preacher, I know people, men, we've passed out. We've went to outer space. Man, we've put men on the moon. Let me tell you what God did. God took Elijah and Enoch, praise God, and He transferred them from here to the third heaven, praise God, and He gave them their own oxygen supply. Amen. They wanted for nothing, praise God. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. I don't care what man comes up with. You say, well, preacher, what about all these computers? What about all these things? It's technology we have. Amen. They ain't nothing that God didn't already know. Because if He didn't know it, we couldn't. Amen. People sat down and sat around and they try to think that they're smarter than God. Amen. I want to tell you, there's nothing ever occurred to God. Amen. Amen. When God said, when a man sat down, He designed that first computer. I mean, it was a monster. A big old room. Hey, man, I thought it'd be bigger than this church just for one little computer to do what they do in one that big right now. George brought he got one of them dash cameras to put in his truck so he can have something to take, show what's going on, because you never know what's going to happen, you know, in front of you. That way, if you had an accident or something, praise God, you got it right there. And he brought that thing home to give it to his mama to see if she could download making files on the computer so he could put them in there. And that little old card, that thing's God is lit right there. This little old bitty card holds all those videos he's taken since he's got that camera in that little old card right there. Amen. But that never occurred to God that was possible. God always knew that was possible because there's nothing impossible with God. And He touched some man's heart, touched his brain, went to his heart. He said, you know what? I'm going to make something I can put some store information on. You say, where'd God start that? when He gave us a volume of the book. Amen. God said, you know what? I better pin. He said, they ain't going to be able to remember this. Landon's little mind can't comprehend it all and keep it. Praise God. I'm just going to give him a book, praise God, so he can carry it with him. Amen. Nothing has ever occurred to God. Amen. Making him bigger and bigger, ain't he? I tell you, God just keeps getting bigger to me. I don't know. You may be able to put him in a little old box and carry him around with you, but he just keeps getting bigger to me. Amen. The more I think about it, the more how good He is to me, the bigger He gets. He's an almighty God, praise the Lord. Bless His holy name. Amen. He goes on here, verse 11, He said, there is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are come with those that shall come after. I got to thinking about this. Do you remember, Brother Rex, do you remember your great-great-great-great-grandfather? You remember? Do you know anything about him? What about your great-great-great-grandfather? You know his name? Don't even know his name. Do you know anything about him? What about your great-great-grandfather? You know his name? Do you know anything about him? Huh? I'm just now, we're down to one generation now. What about your grandfather? Did you know your grandfather? Never knowed his grandfather. Huh? He's gone. They didn't leave nothing behind for him. Couldn't remember who he was. You see the picture? Amen. The old preacher said, you know what? He said, you're going to come through here. You're going to go through a life cycle just like everybody else. He said, when it's all said and done, they don't nobody even remember you. Amen. They'll forget you in just a few days, a few years, praise God. He said, you'll be gone. You'll be history. He said, well, preacher, I don't like that. I want people to remember me. We all do. Amen. We'd like to know. We'd go out of here and we'd be remembered. Now listen to what the old preacher said. He said, the preacher was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Now he says, I've made a name for myself. Amen. He said, I had made a name for myself. He said, I was king, praise God. I was exalted to the throne of the nation of Israel. Jerusalem, praise God, the capital city of God. He goes on, he says, I gave my heart to seek and to search out wisdom concerned all things that were done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. He said, He gave us mind to think, praise God. And He said, with my mind, He said, I begin to seek out wisdom and knowledge. He said, I had all the resources to do that. Amen. Everything, there was nothing that I lacked. He said, I had the wealth. He said, I had the status. He said, I had the wealth and the status. He said, I had the ability. He had done asked God for wisdom, and God had granted him wisdom. Amen. He said, I had all the assets I needed, praise God, to seek after what I wanted to seek. He said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, it was like, Brother John, he said, it was like I was trying to lasso the wind. Amen? He said, I was searching after everything I was seeking. He said, there's nothing I didn't search after and put my hands on and try to figure out. He said, it was just like trying to rope the wind. Amen. He said, it was too vast for even me. Why? Because it was God. Amen. I've told you before, if God was small enough to figure out, He wouldn't be big enough to be my God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless His holy name. He said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation spirit. He said, it's like a chasing after the wind, trying to lasso the wind. He said, that which is crooked. Now listen to realization. You come through all his study and his wisdom. He said, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. He said, no matter what I've done, he said, they still crookedness. Amen. No matter how much we love and treat and try to do right, he said, there's always going to be some crookedness. Just like Jesus, he said, that you'll always have the poor with you. Amen. Now, no matter how much we try to feed the homeless, you'll always have somebody poor, somebody homeless. Just the way it is. That's the world. Amen. Does that mean that we shouldn't try to help them? No. We should try to help everywhere that God gives us ability and the capability to help. Amen. But there's still going to be somebody at a pillow of their head tonight without food in their belly. Amen. Just a fact of life, just the way it is. He said, we can't make it straight. He said, that which is wanting cannot be numbered. He said, there's the things out there that's missing a piece. And he said, we can't supply the piece. Amen. When they get count, when they count on that piece, it's still going to be missing. He said, we can't supply all the pieces. Amen. These puzzles, that'll never be solved. Amen. It's like those we had when you was a kid and you'd play with them. You'd part of them fall down the vent in the floor in your bedroom. And you go to put it together and you got a piece of missing. Huh? And look all that you could. You could never find that one piece that's missing. So you could never complete the puzzle. He said, that's why. He said, I've looked and looked and searched. But he said, there's always seemed to be a piece of missing. I can't finish the puzzle. Amen. He said, that's the world that we're living in. He said, I commune with my own heart. Now listen to this. Saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom. He said, I've got all these things. He said, you can read on through here in chapter 2. He said, I've got anything that my heart desired. I didn't withhold it from myself. He said, I have anything that I want. Amen. Having said that, look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, he says this. He said, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Now listen to what he says. Verse 19. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Amen. He said it just seems like meaningless. All this stuff I worked hard for and I look back and some other man gets it and I don't know whether he'll be smart, be wise, or just be a fool. Let me tell you a little story. There's a fellow that went to school with my wife. His mom and daddy died and they left him and his sister a great estate. Several $100,000 apiece. I think close to like $500,000 apiece. Left to him. And you know what he did? His sister done okay with hers. But her brother took out the $500,000 and he went through it like water. And guess what? Today, he ain't even got a place to live. Huh? Why? Because his daddy left it to him, praise God, without any stipulations on it, and he just blowed it, got rid of it. You say, well, preacher, that never happened to me. It happens every day. Young people, listen, mom and daddy leave you a piece of property. You cherish that piece of property. Don't you take that, sell it, and blow the money. Amen. You thank God for that gift that God has given you through mom and daddy, praise God, and you cherish it, and you use it wisely. And you build your estate so you can leave something else for somebody else down the road. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. Praise the Lord. But he said, I am come to a great estate and have got more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. This is what he says in verse 17. He said, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. See, I told you, he said, I didn't withhold anything from myself. Anything I thought felt good, I wanted to do, he said, I did it. He said, it was just a vexation. He said, it was every bit like chasing the wind, trying to lasso the wind. He said, it was of no effect. He said, I tried all the extremes of human behavior. Amen. See what he said? He said, I gave my heart to know wisdom, to know madness and folly. He said, every extreme of human wisdom, every extreme of human behavior. He said, I tried it all. And praise God, it didn't amount to nothing. It was like rassoing the wind. Amen. To no effect. And then he goes in, he concludes in verse 18. He said, for in much wisdom is much grief. Huh? Much wisdom, much grief. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, he said, to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. You know, when God gives you wisdom, when He gives you lots of wisdom, lots of knowledge, gives you a leadership role, there's a lot required in that leadership role. There's a lot required in that wisdom that He gives you. Amen. And He said, for in much wisdom is much grief. And He that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Amen. As we get wisdom, praise God, sometimes we begin to realize how bad shape we really are. Amen. We look around in the world, and Brother John, and we realize there's some people out there that's in terrible shape. And there's nothing in the world that we can do to help them. And I appreciate Brother John because he'll help anybody in this community. He has. He's helped just about everybody in this community at one time or another. Amen. But you can't help everybody. We can't physically get to everybody. We'd like to. But as a man, he said, no matter how smart I am, no matter how much knowledge, no matter how much money and ability, I can't get to everyone. Amen. He said, I can't get to them. So what takes place? He said, it's just a vanity and a vexatious spirit. Not, he said, even the much learned, you know, colleges, have you noticed college kids? The statistics show it at college kids are they're more apt to become drunks than kids that never go to college. Why? Because they're learning, they're trying to absorb so much knowledge. And in Ecclesiastes 12 and 17, he says much knowledge is weariness to the flesh. Amen. It brings on stress and anxiety. Amen. He said, after all that I've tried to get a hold of in this life, he said, it just led to stress and anxiety. That circle of life. He said, it just keeps on like a wheel. He said, I can't get a hold of it. Amen. Why was the old preacher telling this? Why does he go into such great depth to inform? I mean, this is just the beginning. Why does he go into such great depth to tell us this stuff? So that he can warn us, praise God, but that it's not about me and you, but it's about the good God of glory. Amen. In closing, I want to give you the title of my message. Will we be remembered? Will we be remembered? Amen. There's nobody, hardly anybody in the world that could sit down and you say, what did old King Solomon do? What's some of the great things that he accomplished? They could probably give you maybe a few things. Somebody's learned. But you know what? Most people, the only thing they say, he said that he loved God. Amen. And he realized that without God, he was nothing. Amen. How will we be remembered? Will me and you be remembered? So I was asking Brother Ryan, can you remember your great-grandfather? Your great-great-great-grandfather? Your great-great-great-great-grand? No. I can't remember. We don't remember them. Why? Because they never done nothing great for God. Amen. But I tell you what, there's some men out there. Oh, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody. Amen. Some of these great, great men of God. We remember them. People remember. You can mention their name and say, I know him. Amen. I remember him. Why? Because he done great things for God. Amen. They said in their heart and their mind not to be men pleasers, but to be God pleasers. Amen. How will we be remembered when we're dead and gone, when we're out of here, when our cycle of life is finished? Will you be remembered? Amen. Brother Bill, I hope God one day at old Landon, you say, do you remember your papa? He said, oh yeah. My papa Bryson loved Jesus. Amen. He may not remember your old yellow truck. He may not remember that old red truck. But praise God, he'll remember that Papa loved Jesus. Praise God. That's all that matters, glory to God. Amen. That's all that matters. And we go out of here with the love of God in our heart. So somebody can look back and say, I don't remember Jeff Massey, but I know he loved Jesus. Praise God. Amen. You see what the old preacher was saying? He said, vanity, vanity, vexation of spirit. He said, everything's just like rope in the wind. He said, except loving God with all your heart. Amen. Amen. Acknowledging Him all the days of your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Will you be remembered? Amen. Will you be remembered? Will people remember you? when you're gone.